The 930 case, case number 32-20, property is 3020, 3022, and 3026 Welton Street. And do I have the appellants present? That would be Eddie and Robert Wolfa?
We're here. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can, thank you. And do I have other folks on the call that are for this case? Looks like no one on the call. I will reflect that I have two people in the hearing room that are here today for this case. I'm going to start.
I'm sorry, we do have people on video for the case.
Okay, I'm sorry, I may have to give a little longer there for folks to respond. Who do I have on there for, I see Ms. Sanchez and Mr. Parcell?
Correct.
Okay, and you both are here for this case?
Yes.
Thank you. So everyone that's here for this case, I'm going to ask you, including the folks on video and the folks in the room, I'm going to ask you to be sworn in with me, and it's in case we hear from you and get testimony, I want this on the record. So everyone for this case, including the appellants, folks on video, and folks in the room, if you'd raise your right hand with me, it's very brief, I'm just going to ask you if you swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to provide today will be the truth.
I do.
I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Did I hear from the Wolf folks?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Now, with the appellants, if you could please state your name and address for the record, and I want to hear from both of you.
Eddie A. Wolfa, 3015 Monaco Parkway, Denver, Colorado, 80207.
Thank you.
Robert B. Holden, 3015 Monaco Parkway, Denver, Colorado, 80207.
Thank you. And now with the folks that are online, that are here, can you let me know, are you here in support of what is being asked for, or are you here in opposition to what is being asked for, or are you neutral?
Support.
Mr. Parcell?
Support.
Okay, thank you. And I have two folks in the room in opposition, so I'm going to let the record reflect that I have both support and opposition. Does the city wish to intervene?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. Would you please present the exhibits and the appellant's statement?
I will. Also, just real quick for the people for this case, just to orient everyone, the people that are kind of involved and will be participating in this will be Penny Elder, he is the board chair. Jim Keaveney is a board member who is present in the room. Charlie Young is a board member who is also present in the room. Then we have Jose Awayo is a board member who is joining us virtually. And Nancy Burkhart is the other board member joining us virtually. We have Josh Roberts, who is the city attorney, and Ron Jones, who is the zoning representative for the hearing. In BOA case 32-20, premises of 3020, 3022, and 3026 Welton Street, we presently have 10 marked exhibits. Exhibit number one is a formal denial of a permit to erect a 36-unit multifamily structure deficient 22 of the required 27 parking spaces and deficient the landscaping required for perimeter surface parking lots adjacent to residential uses or zone districts. Exhibit number two is the board sketch of the property highlighting the violations. Exhibit number three are the board's posting photos showing the notification sign erected on the property as well as the property itself. Exhibit number four is the list of contacted registered neighborhood organizations. In this case, we've contacted 13 groups. We have received one response to our office from the Welton Corridor property owners. Exhibit number five is the applicant statement, which is somewhat lengthy, so I've prepared copies for the board to review silently rather than reading it into the record. Exhibit number six are the plans for the proposal. Exhibit number seven is a submitted letter of approval. Exhibit number 8 is the city's aerial view of the property. Exhibit number 9 is a packet of, I believe, 4 letters of opposition, which have been submitted to our office. And, I believe we have 11 marked exhibits. Exhibit number 10 is the appellant's packet of information, which I believe includes some support letters. And then exhibit number 11 is a letter of information in partial opposition from the Welton Corridor RNO. That concludes our marked exhibits at this time.
Okay, thank you. Does the city have anything they want to add before we get started?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, so I will turn this over to the appellants, to the Wolfolks, and talk to us about what it is you're asking for here.
Thank you. I'll be speaking on behalf of the Wolfolks as our introduction.
Okay.
Thanks for having us this evening.
Ms. Sanchez, I just gave you presenter credentials, so you can forward the slides and change the view on screen for everyone if you'd like.
Okay, I have no slides. I'll just do a brief introduction, and then I will be handing on to Mr. Purcell.
Okay.
Thanks, Otman. My name is Oriana Sanchez. I am the project manager for Charity's House Apartments, working with Pastor Robert Wolfolk and Susan Eddie Wolfolk. I represent Woodland Development. We've been working with the Wolfolks on this supportive housing development for the last year and a half. Blue Line Development is my company and is an affordable housing developer out of Montana. I am the Colorado representative. I've lived in the metro area for the past 45 years. Charity House is the 7th supportive housing development I've been involved with in Colorado and the 6th for Blue Line Development. Mrs. Wolfolk is Executive Director of Community Outreach Service Center, a nonprofit she and her husband, the pastor, formed in 1988 to serve Five Points area and its residents. Pastor Bob, as he's affectionately known, has been the pastor at Agape Christian Church at 25th in California for over 40 years. The Wolfolks have worked and owned the property in Five Points for many decades and have seen the devastation in the neighborhood affecting the people they serve. Thus, bringing Charity's House forward with the properties on Wilton. We understand that there is some neighborhood opposition in regards to reduction in parking. We also fully understand that parking is a serious and sensitive subject for dense residents. And so I'd like to just take a moment to address that. To qualify for the housing that we are proposing, residents will be required to earn 30% or less of the AFSA median income, which is $21,000 per year for one person. To extrapolate on that, that's $1,950 per month or less. So once we figure in costs for rent, food, phone, and medical costs, it would be very difficult to pay for gas, insurance, and or car payments in addition to those basic needs. We've provided a parking study in your packet that illustrates residents of supportive housing historically have a much lower need for parking. Finally, I'll take a moment to express steps the project team has taken to inform neighbors of the project. Mrs. Wolfolk has contacted the immediate neighbors to the south on Welton Street at 3002, 3006, 3010, and 3014 to discuss the project. The pastor and Mrs. Wolfolk have visited both the Curtis Park RNO, Five Points Business Improvement District, and the Town Center Liver owners. Received positive feedback from all three.
Which one's the BOA?
I'm sorry? Lastly, the team is not a team. We counsel Henry Wolfolk, C. DeBaca.
to inform her of the suspect and the regular contact or something, your actual attorney was being...
Just a reminder to you, if you're...
Yeah, hold on, Ms. Sanchez, hold on just a second. If there's anyone online that is not the speaker, if you can please mute your phone or your connection.
Your audio.
Your audio. And I think we had, is it Ms. Martinez?
Oh.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Sanchez.
All right, thank you. So as I was saying, so we've met with the Zion team, I've met with the councilwoman C. DeBaca, and received support on our project. And we've been in regular contact with the development team from the Mainspring Development, who is in the process of developing the vacant parcel next to our parcel. So we're in regular contact to ensure that we are building in cooperation. So with that, now I will hand off to Ms. Purcell of ShotWorks Architecture. He will take the details of our application.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Early in the conceptual phase of our site plan review, we discussed the idea of a parking variant with city planning staff due to the site size, geometry, present at this location. At that time, to the east, the Oregon Avenue, we're starting the variant process, and it decided that if we could access their pedestrian experience on both Weldon and Elm Street, that would be an acceptable alternative to providing the minimum required off-street parking. At that point, staff suggested we could go as low as zero parking spaces. However, that didn't work programmatically for the building. So based on a parking study provided by Fox Total Engineers, the resident demands for this population, very low income, and the proximity to the light rail station at 30th and Downey would be 4 cars for the residents. Our current design provides 5 cars plus a living space. With the parking reduction, we can have our lobby, offices, and community room fronting Weldon Street, putting the building's hub of activity on the street where we want it to be. Without the parking reduction, the ground floor would be reduced to a parking garage with only a sliver of street level activation on Weldon and no activation on Downing Street. Another issue with this site is the location of the RTD light rail, which runs directly past our front door. After multiple discussions with staff from planning, fire, and transportation, it was decided that we would provide a fire department access path both sides of the building, so firefighters have the ability to serve the entire building without crossing the light rail tracks. Transportation requested we use the existing curb cut off Downing Street at the vacated alley to prevent disruption to the convenience store parking lot and the neighbors west of us on Welch. The landscape buffer became problematic on this 75-foot wide site, since there's very little room to provide double-loaded parking, a 10-foot wide landscape buffer, screen wall, as well as the 2 3-foot wide fire access paths. Our current design has a 6-foot tall minimum opaque wall along the left turn property, the western portion of our parking garage. And there is also an existing fence on the property line with that adjacent neighbor, which screens the parking. In closing, if the board approves these waivers, we can provide active street fronts on both Downing and Welton. We think enhancing the neighborhood character and pedestrian experience, rather than having basically a one-story parking garage on the entire footprint. So thank you for your consideration.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Nancy.
So who are the people who will be living in these units? I'm assuming they're rentals, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so who are the people and how did they get one of these units?
So without getting too far into fair housing rules, people will apply and they will have been identified on the, they'll have to meet the eligibility requirements of that 30% of the area median income.
Okay, and so you do have handicap parking a lot in here. Does that mean that there might be someone who would need handicap mobility access of some kind?
Potentially.
I'm thinking of maybe someone who would use RTD and their special mobile units.
Potentially.
Okay, so you would not be able to supply any area for them to use for getting their people into that unit. They would have to just park in the cut, is that correct?
No, there's an accessible handicap space to allow for underneath and also an elevator-equipped building with the required ADA accessible apartments and the ADA adaptable apartments available.
Okay, so the handicap parking area is large enough to accommodate one of those vans.
It's sized to be van accessible, so it has an 8-foot stall with an 8-foot access aisle, and the garage is set to a height of 8'4", and 8'2" is the minimum for van accessible stall.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Other questions from board members?
I have a question about the ownership structure. I see the current owners are Eddie and Robert Wolfo, who are involved with the church. Are they intended to be the long-term owners, them personally, not the church, or a registered 501c3?
So the ownership structure will be a triple LP structure, and we're financing through the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program. So they're selling the land into the ownership, and they will, after investors essentially leave after the required compliance period, they will become the owners of the triple LP. The outright owners, they'll have ownership throughout the entire compliance period as well.
Okay, and so beyond the compliance period, there's going to be no requirement that the residents are under 30% AMI, correct?
There absolutely is. There'll be, so the credit program will require that as well as rental subsidy, which there'll be a 20-year extension contract that will require the 30% AMI.
Okay, that was my point, is that potentially after 20 years, you know, we're granting this as affordable housing, and, you know, that kind of plays into our consideration of the lack of parking, but potentially after 20 years, this could become market rate housing with a
discussion platform. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So with the entire capital stack, there is money coming in from the Housing Solutions Program to the state and from home and business. Once we put all of the needs in place, there'll be a 75 to 90 year compliance period of affordability.
Okay. Is that restriction included in your submittals at all?
No, not in the submittal.
Okay. Thank you.
So have you looked at any, I mean, is this your first run of the drawing board, or, you know, have you looked at any other plans or options that didn't ask for as much of a variance? Because I'm sure right now that there's already a reduction in the parking given the proximity to the light rail, and so the 27 probably reflects a reduction already. And then, you know, I'm just I'm just wondering what other plans you've looked at. I mean, I know that we have, you know, we come to this table a lot with the ideal of what we want, but it's not, you know, I'm just sort of wondering what compromises you all maybe have made in this design to try to accommodate asking for this relief.
Yes, we went through multiple iterations on this plan. The project, the first time we submitted for our concept package to the city was in 2016. And so we've been revising this plan for many, many years. And what was happening was, because the site is only 75 feet wide, and we had double-loaded parking, but then what that does is it basically blows away any opportunity for any kind of front door, offices, lobby area on that Welton Street frontage, just to get parking in there. Because we still would have to provide trash services, mechanical spaces, and all of that stuff. So what it was doing is it was pushing all that parking closer to Welton. So as you can imagine, we have six cars there now. If we added another six on the other side of that, basically all of that program would have to get squished up into the front, and then basically would have a front door that people could come in off of as well. The plan that we started with was our max reduction at 50% of the zoning required 27, which was 14. And that's what led us to just almost a full story parking on level one. And that's when we started to have those discussions with our planning staff about the viability of that plan.
I have a question about that, and maybe Ronnie can answer. So, you know, on our subject matter, it says deficient to require 27 parking spaces, but per your testimony, you would only be required to have 14 since you're within the vicinity of a light rail station?
Well, the maximum reduction that we can take from a zoning standpoint is 50% of the required. So if we, we've got 36 units at 0.75, which gets us to 27 required zoning. And then for a maximum reduction, we could go down to 14 cars.
Okay.
So we would have the light rail, proximity to transit, as well as car sharing, some other ways to get down to the final 14.
Right. Okay, thank you.
So that reduction is based off of, is it a quarter mile distance to the station? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then, are you closer than that, do you know? Or,
I'm sorry, did you?
Are you closer than a quarter mile? I'm just, it looks like the arrow that you are pretty close to that station. Do you know?
Yeah, we're closer. We've got the, there's the 30th and Downing Station that's basically across the street and down the block. So it's definitely less than a quarter of a mile.
But I do notice